welcome to the Rangers Rundown, where we're going to give the hottest takes that we can come up with, which, given our history, is probably fairly lukewarm, but still, handled with care. Tonight, I am Max, playing the role of Hayden, joined by Hayden, playing the role of other Hayden.
Hi, I think.
And Mike.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, we're having some delightful recording issues, so blame all, any and all, on Hayden, but not this
Which episode. Is you.
That's our fallback.
Okay.
Always blame it on Hayden.
We should all just record as Hayden in the sometime, just to get the tracks particularly stupid. But, yes, this recording coming to you from
it's like Negan.
Location, the American Deep South. It's Alabama. The internet here. It's the only thing we've got going for us. But the only other thing we've got going for us is that the internet does allow us to read about Texas Rangers news, and biggest news of the offseason, Doug Bocale is no longer a Texas Ranger going forward. So, pour one out real quick for old Doug. Old Dougie Doug.
Probably not going to lose a lot of sleep over this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never forgave Bocale for Darvish in his final season. That just left a very bitter taste in my mouth. He just got thrown under the bus, and unfairly so, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought that whole sequence with Bocale and Luke Roy talking about things was just, it seemed very out of character for baseball. I don't know that, you know, Bocale was a terrible pitching coach. I think, as I think Hayden was saying in precast, the efficacy or the value of coaching is probably pretty overstated at the major league level, unless you got guys who are giving you really interesting things in terms of defensive positioning these days, and you've got some guys who are, you know, got great reputation as instructors, you know, like Washington, who's a really, really good infield instructor. But most of the time, I think you're kind of talking about a wash with a hitting coach and a pitching coach. But
yeah, but the whole thing about trying to get an upgrade. It was the whole thing about trying to get Darvish to pitch to contact instead of striking people out, which is what he was really, really good at. And I think it got in his head and it messed him up. And I don't know if you guys heard about this, but one of the personalities on the ticket actually bought into what Bocale was trying to do. And Darvish had a game, typical game for him, where, you know, he probably had 10, 12 strikeouts, but reached his pitch limit in the sixth inning, and Mike Reiner of the ticket tweeted out, "Darvish doesn't give a damn about this team," as a result of that, which I thought was a very uninformed opinion.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It was really that whole, like, the will to win nonsense about Darvish.
Oh, gosh.
And I think some of that mentality was typified by folks like Doug Bocale, who's very old school and very...
Yeah.
Yeah, a while back, Latin players used to get that tag a lot, and I thought that was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If they didn't want to win, they would not have put all the incredible effort it took to get up here to play freaking baseball, y'all. Like,
yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, like defecting from Cuba and such. Yeah, that takes a little...
They defected from Cuba out of laziness, I assume, right?
Yeah. Well, Castro, he just lets those guys go. He doesn't care.
Yeah. That's all that was.
Yeah,
they were just like, I guess I'll go play sports ball for money. Come on.
It's a very soft border in Cuba.
Yeah, you just walk out. I'm a baseball guy.
Welcome to NPR, NPR Politics Podcast. Well,
yeah, we're going to talk about some weird nonsense here.
I actually met a couple that defected from Cuba, and they did it with an inner tube, and they made it. And, I mean, it was funny because it was husband and wife, and I asked them, "So if you had to do it all over again, would you?" And the wife said, "Hell no." I mean, they had sharks circling them at certain points, and they were dehydrated as hell. I mean, it's just...
That's awful.
It's scary. Yeah.
I went to high school in Central Florida, so I had several friends who were Cuban immigrants, or his parents were Cuban immigrants. And you hear these stories about the kinds of things that folks had to get through to get over, and I think it's a very big disconnect from what a lot of us think about when we think about, say, even just ball players coming up here. You see the stories. I think Landis Martin was the one who had that really big blow up story last year.
Yeah.
All the, like, horrifying nonsense that his family had to go through and is still going through.
Yeah.
And then there's everything about, like, with the Braves and the Buscones, the talent scouts and the networks that are built up around 13, 14, 15 year old kids or even younger.
You also hear about stories like Robinson Chirinos, where, you know, his family is in danger of being kidnapped at any moment in Venezuela.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys, I don't know if they actually really care about baseball enough. I mean,
no.
You can't sign these Venezuelan dudes because they're all so distracted because they love their families. And give me a couple of guys.
And their bulls.
Their families. Yeah. Just find me a couple of dudes from Arkansas who hate their parents and will only play baseball. I think it's just more efficient.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. That's the Rangers free agent market this season is hateful old dudes who are no longer welcome at Thanksgiving. And focus on just baseball. The guy who got into with Aunt Sheila too many times and is no longer being invited. That's the guy I want on my team.
Had a little too much eggnog. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. We all know that guy. And I want to play baseball with that guy.
Yeah. The will to win.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a pretty grim offseason, though, for the Rangers in terms of signing. I know, Mike, you were saying that you're... What was your scorching hot take in pre-recording?
My hot sports opinion is the Rangers are effectively done in free agency.
Wow, before they even started.
Drew Smyly. There it is. We're
there
done.
There you go.
Hey, excuse me. Jet Bandy. That's the big free agent.
Oh, okay. You got me.
What position does he play?
The only guy so far, right? He's a catcher.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
With a really Star Wars-y name. Jet Bandy. It's really good.
Man, before we get into catchers and free agency and stuff, we mentioned we kind of had some kind of a eulogy for Robinson Chirinos last episode, but as I also included in the episode is to follow him on Instagram because he's part of the MLB All-Star Tour in Japan right now. It seems like it's been going on for like 2 weeks, and it makes me so happy because he's there with his son taking all these pictures with baseball, like Hideki Matsui is around, and then also just like Japan culture and things. And there's pictures of him like playing baseball in this Japan series, and he's wearing a Rangers uniform because like that's his team. And it
made me sad.
Completely breaks my heart.
Yeah, that's sad. That is like, very sad.
Like Chirinos is out there smiling with his son. He's taking a picture in Japan. Woohoo, we love baseball. This is our life. What a wonderful time. And there's Texas across my chest, and they might not want me at all. It just breaks my heart.
That has to be painful for him to put on that jersey every night.
Yeah, right? Because,
wow.
It's depressing.
Yeah. It's still...
They should have a special jersey for a player like that. It just says baseball across the front.
Baseball.
In the back of it, it says player.
Oh, man. So that's just... He's posting... Like, he looks like he's having a wonderful time with his son, a once-in-a-lifetime trip. But, man, I'm sorry. Please come back to Texas. I hope JD decides that you're actually worth like $4 million. And we'll see what happens with that. But until then, I guess we can keep signing minor league free agents and have them be our starters and backup catchers because that's what we've done for the last who knows how many years. Whatever. Whatever.
They are bringing in offensive superstar Jet Bandy last season.
Gosh.
Over 60 games at AAA. He batted .292, .353, .510.
Wow.
He's a career .290, .348, .470, .300 hitter at AAA. That's very good. Let's just ignore the fact that he's a career .218, .282, .360 hitter in the majors.
Mm.
The Rangers know something. Man, they have to know something.
he's only 28.
Gosh.
He'll be 29 when the season starts. He could put it together.
He'll be on the wrong side of 28 when the season starts, because that's when everyone peaks.
Yeah. And I just saw this. He's from Thousand Oaks, California. So I hope Mr. Bandy and his family were not affected by that at all. That's we're gonna real talk a little bit too much in this episode.
Welcome to NPR.
Apparently. Well, there's that. Anyway, that's the only.
Do you have a forest fire update?
They're
my
bad.
My family's houses are not threatened by this particular fire, but boy, is the internet full of some really sad stories right now. The last round of fires in the Central Valley area that threatened some of my family members, but this round is farther south, so you know, woohoo, it's pretty bad out there. So if for some reason you're listening to this podcast from California and you're not an Angels fan, you know,
I like that disclaimer.
If you're an Angels fan, you probably don't want to listen to the part where I start talking about free agency in a little while, but stay safe. Be cool. Get out of there. If you get an evacuation order, just leave. It's just a house.
Yeah, what, 31 dead so far? Crazy.
A lot more than
and
that.
And like 200 missing.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Wow. Yeah.
One of these areas, I think it's, is it Paradise is the name of the community? One of the communities that was hit near L.A. is...
somewhat of a misnomer.
Yeah, it's heavily older, and a lot of, like, sick or working class folks, you may not have been able to get out. And so it's probably going to keep going up. Just pretty, pretty grim stuff. And California's been hit hard the last couple of years. It feels like we're getting more, and maybe we're just getting more and more information about national disasters as they come up now than we used to, but it is certainly pretty, pretty grim news. I know the Monday Night Football game, Giants Niners tonight, was being played in a haze from wildfire smoke, and it's just sort of a weird thing to have a sports podcast or be watching a Monday Night Football game and thinking about folks out there fighting fires or trying to keep their family safe. So, yeah, it's nice to be able to sit here behind the privilege of a microphone and just. Talk about these things, and I have to be living them, but it'll all come for us. We got to be kind of sticking in this thing together as a big old group, help your neighbors, do all that kind of good stuff.
Yep.
Talk about some baseball on the internet. Do what you can to help. We're going to contribute all proceeds from this episode.
I'll add revenue.
Yeah. We're monetizing.
Thank you, Budweiser.
Gosh, we had that conversation like a month ago.
Yeah.
We're sending all of our Patreon money to, somebody else. Jet Bandy's family. We're going to send it to Jet Bandy and figure out what to do with it. Yeah, but to your point from several minutes ago before we got depressed, I would love to see the Rangers make some plays in these sort of middle interesting free agents, but it's hard to see Texas doing anything more than being competitive in the really depressing band of like, is Texas the team that brings Mark Reynolds back this year?
Oof. Or
maybe Texas Please is no. the team that will give Gregorio Petit another shot? How about Andrew Romine, everybody?
Huh.
Household names.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think that JD set the mark last year when we saw what he did all offseason and, you know, Lone Star Ball, our beloved website that we follow daily, they were going crazy in the offseason, speculating about what free agents they were going to pick up, and I think we all came away vastly underwhelmed, and I think the same thing is going to happen again this year because there's no reason for them to. This team is not a player or two away, as you said in the precast, Max. It's a lot of gaping holes, so better to play the waiting game on the prospects and have another year of suck.
Yeah, there's a couple of, you know, maybe those fringe interesting guys who Texas is bringing in on one-year deals and hoping that they're good enough to flip. But I think there's going to be some competition on them. I think there's a few obvious names this year that teams are really going to want to be getting in on. Like, you know, Lance Lynn is a guy that teams are probably going to be not fighting over. It's Lance Lynn, and he was bad last year. But he's not going to be only Texas coming knocking. You know, Anibal Sanchez was really good last year, so he's probably out of this band, but he's an interesting one. I mean, Josh Tomlin is maybe in that area. Big game, James Shields.
Oh, ooh. Gosh.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a guy I want Texas to be in is Nate Karns. I like Nate Karns. I think he's interesting. He might be terrible, but eh. Jaime Garcia. Texas could be in on a guy like Jaime Garcia. He's a reclaim, so
yeah. I just think that I think that Mike is right in that what we did last offseason is indicative. Like, we're kind of in the same spot, you know, 2017 offseason to 2018 offseason, and I just don't think that the team is in a position to, even if you do sign a premier free agent or a couple of decent players, that you're really going to find that to move the needle a lot. I hope that they do. I hope that they do make steps to improve the team, but I think that they kind of the cards are probably sort of on the table already in terms of, let's not sign this player just because he's one of the better players this offseason. Let's maybe save our money and try to sign a you know, the difference maker in 2020 or 2019 or something like that, when yeah. when that money will really put us over the top rather than making us from a 72-win team to an 80-win team or something like that.
Yeah, which blew the doors off this
right.
thing and signed Machado and Pat Corbin.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
There's the money to do it. Texas has got money.
Plenty of money.
But even if you did that, if you just blew your load on Machado and Corbin, Texas is still short two good enough pitchers to be a real team, much less yeah. a playoff team.
Yeah.
The bullpen, you could reasonably think to be good next year, maybe.
Oh, I think it will be.
If Clark is anything like what he was for all of this last season,
yeah,
you've got your ace, you've got a couple of good relievers in there. But the offense is still a big question mark. You're still trying to figure out what you're doing with guys like Shin-Soo Chu and Willie Calhoun. You don't have a catcher.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. I think that we really are in a I think that we need to accept the, you know, the peaks and valleys, and that 2015 and 2016 were peaks, and I mean
2017 through 2025 will be the valleys.
Well, oh, I would put I think that by 2020 yeah but I mean realistically Let's just ignore 2014 because that was such an anomaly. From 2010 to 2016 was a peak. And, you know, we're kind of in a valley where we don't have that AAA, quadruple-A MLB depth that makes acquiring a Manny Machado, you know, for example, after 2010, really, really good team goes and signs Adrian Beltre, who... it's a premier free agent. Now that signing ended up better than we thought it even would. But the point is that we were in on Beltre because we had just been to the World Series and we're trying to get back there. We're right there. You know, we're on the cusp. We're not on the cusp of anything meaningful right now. So, I mean, I think that this team can exceed expectations. I think that the offense is good enough, and I'm just praying for Mazar to learn to hit the ball in the air and for Gallo to put his second halves together to be a full complete season where he bats like 235 and hits 60 home runs, you know, and Elvis to remember how to be good, and Odor to remember how to be good, and Chu to continue to be good, and Calhoun to live up to his potential and all that stuff. Like the offense is there mostly. The pitching is not, and I just and as we know, that's the most important part of the game. And I don't see a path to contention via this offseason.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think this may be groan worthy, but I'm actually okay with them throwing out Mendez and Jurado every fifth day to see if they can actually make something of them, if something clicks for them and they're actually able to be serviceable pitchers, because, you know, the clock is ticking on them. And I think that, you know, if they have a 2019 like their 2018, at least the Rangers can say, okay, we gave them their shot and now we can just let them float away.
Right. Yeah, especially Mendez with the fact that he's out of options. You got to let him fail at the MLB level, or else, you know, what's the point of taking all of this care with him over the years? And then, you know, hopefully in August or September time, we're getting Taylor Hearn starts and Joe Palumbo starts, and, you know, we're getting to track some guys in the upper minors as well, to where then I think that 2019 free agency becomes a lot more interesting, especially because of the names that you have up in involved in there on the starting pitching side. Chris Sale, Rich Hill, Justin Verlander, Cole Hamels again, Tanner Roark, Sonny Gray,
my favorite
Garrett Cole. Yeah, all of these guys, whereas you say, okay, well, let's see if we had Mike Minor. Let's see if we have a Taylor Hearn. Let's say one of Jurado or Mendez can be serviceable. Okay, let's sign a Let's sign a Garrett Cole, yeah. And just like that,
Jurado is a fifth pitcher. Then
right.
What you're doing is you're not stapling Garrett Cole onto a rotation that only has three guys. You're saying, okay, what this rotation needs is an ace, and so you add
exactly.
a Cole or a whatever.
Yeah, and then you go, okay, I'm really glad that we didn't, you know, spend our 2018 offseason signing the second or third best starting pitcher, whoever that may be, because then you can sign one of these guys that really just... Exactly. Like, I would like to have Gio Gonzalez over nobody in 2019, but I would rather have no Gio Gonzalez in 2019 and rather have Chris Sale in 2020, whatever that, you know, however that shakes
really?
Out.
You would rather have,
you know,
I'm make a note here.
Yeah.
Eden would yeah. rather have Chris okay. Sale than, okay.
Make
okay,
sure you yeah. bring this up this time next year.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Hot take.
But the point is that it's, you know, it is, it's kind of like, you know, the discipline of like delayed gratification. Do you want to go for it every year, or do you want to accept the lumps, the valley of, you know, we're probably not going to win 80 games next season. It'd be cool if we did. It'd be really cool if like Taylor Hearn is like a major league starting pitcher next year, and Joe Palumbo, and again, one of Yohander Mendez or Ariel Hurado, but we'll just see what happens and hope. It almost feels like we are in the exact same position that we were last year.
Yeah, but you know, I'm okay with this being in this position because I know that football and baseball are structured very differently when it comes to handling of free agents and the cycle of winning and having that window. But I would rather them lose big and get some high draft picks than be stuck around 500 for 5-6 seasons in a row where they're semi-competitive, they're in the hunt for that wild card spot until the last week of September, but they're never going to make it over that hump. I would rather see them take a hit now for success of the team later.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and I think we're actually I think Texas is in a better position now than we were last year because we didn't lose or see a fall off a cliff any of Gallo, Mazzara, Odor, Profar. Now, we didn't see the improvements from especially Mazzara that we really wanted. I mean, Odor had some very promising parts this season and some parts that were less great, but we're not sitting here going, well, now we need to replace also, you know, Regan Odor or Nomar Mazzara going forward. Yeah, Nomar might not turn into being a star player, but he's at least going to be a serviceable outfielder. Gallo didn't go backwards, you know. He didn't turn out that his 17 was a fluke, and he's a guy who's really never going to bat more than, you know, .150 in the league. Yeah, his batting average stayed bad, but he stayed a valuable player. Like, those are useful things. You know, Texas is 1 year closer to having those guys really being not just young up and coming players, but a true core, and I think that's valuable. I still think Texas made a mistake by not getting Willie Calhoun more major league experience last year because, I mean, this is something we're doing next year, but we're right. still in that bad season in 19, so it doesn't really matter that much. You just got to figure out how you're getting these guys onto the field, seeing exactly what you got and seeing if you can get them developed to a point where when you add Manny Machado to that lineup, you're not stapling Manny Machado onto a little league team. You're adding him to a well-rounded baseball team that just needs some superstar players because it doesn't look like we have any superstars right now. Unless you're very, very high on the outfield trio of Bubba and JPM and Leody, and you're hoping one of those guys turns into an all-star, but you're probably hoping they turn more into like an AJ Pollock than, you know, a Acuna Jr. or a Soto or a Trout or a Machado or whatever, which is a great player. I mean, I'd love to have a six-win center fielder out there, but that's a player that you take your six-win center fielder and then you add that generational guy or you add the 33, you know, the JD Martinez or whoever's on the market to it, and that's a good offseason. Texas just isn't there right now.
A couple of things I think make 2019 a little intriguing. One is obviously the hiring of Woody, and I want to see how he handles the whole Willie Calhoun situation because he's not going to have to carry a Carlos Tochi on the 25 man all year long, and so that's
going to say that now.
Yeah, Rule 5 talk to come at a later date. But, no, yeah.
Actually, Carlos Tochi. JD's like, I'm not sending him down. He's just going to be there every day. Just smiling in the corner like, did I get the blade out today? Like, did I play today? Like, no.
He's just photobombing all the other players when they're getting their picture taken. Yeah, he's that guy.
Maybe he makes really good coffee. Like, you never know, those things are valuable in the office environment.
What was that movie set in Mogadishu where the guy was making the really good coffee in the field? The war movie. Oh, you guys have to know what I'm talking about.
Like Black Hawk Down?
Yes. Okay. That guy. Remember that guy that was all about making the coffee?
It's important. It's an important part of any team.
Yes. Very much so.
Carlos Tochi clearly eating up that roster spot next year. But yeah, you know, to your point, Woodward, how he handles Calhoun in a more flexible roster, hopefully. And well, eventually and without Adrian Beltre as well.
And hopefully as they improve on the analytics side through the hirings of Woodward and always forget his name. Riemann?
The guy from the Cubs.
Yes. Yeah. Riemann?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we're going to see some changes. I think we are going to see Mazzara change his launch angle. I've got faith.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I mentioned this previously, but there seems to be, give or take, four organizations that you definitely could look at as progressive, and it would be the Cubs, the Astros, the Yankees, and the Dodgers, I think are the teams that you think of. Maybe the Phillies, now that they have Gabe Kapler over there, who came from the Dodgers. Certainly,
I throw the Red Sox in there too. Yeah.
Yeah, the Red Sox did some interesting things in the fact that they completely turned around the fact that, you know, kind of their reputation was to, you know, see pitches and work starting pitchers, but that organization seemed to adapt really well to the specialization of the bullpens and saying, let's not try to get, you know, the guy that throws 100 in the sixth inning. Maybe let's try to jump on the starting pitcher. As the game evolved, they seemed to be very proactive and to counter that move and counter that trend. So, of course, the Red Sox, very successful this year. The fact that we were able to get a manager from the Dodgers and an assistant general manager from the Cubs, along with, again, I trust John Daniels, I think all of us kind of do, to be, you know, to make the changes that need to be made. I'm optimistic for the future. I'm optimistic for a guy like Mazzara to finally turn into at least a league average bat, because we've seen it there. Like we see his patience at the plate. We've seen his in-game power be ridiculous. It seems to be like, if only you could convince him, this is how you turn into a superstar. He has the skills to do that. And so hopefully he's able to do that with him and then take the players that are, you know, quality and turn them into great and turn our depth into, you know, like, for example, like Marwin Gonzalez was a guy with the Astros that was pretty much a utility guy that was a dime a dozen, and then he turned his career into being incredibly useful, and his versatility along with his bat was incredibly valuable for that championship team. And you know, what if Profar turns into a Marwin Gonzalez, where he's extremely successful playing a lot of positions because of the progression of the front office? They're able to put our players into positions that where they can succeed and take advantages, you know, of the numbers and of the matchups and of on this pitch count swing and all that kind of stuff. I'm excited about these moves, because it seems like we're at least aware that we're not where we need to be, but we can get there, and we have the personnel in place to, you know, as long as everything goes according to plan, we'll be, you know, in that valley or in that peak period very soon, competing with those teams like the Astros and the Dodgers.
Yeah, and something you said.
Go ahead.
Something you said about JD. Yes, we all trust in JD, and we were talking before the podcast began about an article that I saw over the weekend that I couldn't seem to track down, but I am positive that I read this, that JD, he spoke about having a conversation with Cole Hamels after the season was over, and actually admitted that the Rangers were behind the curve when it came to advanced metrics, that they had kind of fallen behind those leaders, and that, yeah, I mean, insinuated that those moves they made with the Dodgers and with the Cubs guys, that was in direct correlation to that, to try and build up you know, some competitive advantage in that area. And that, I think that's really cool that JD would admit that, you know, he hadn't done a perfect job. You know, a lot of guys are trying to save their jobs at all times, but you know, sometimes a tiger isn't afraid to change its stripes, and I think that's a pretty cool quality of his.
Yeah, I think Texas is in a place where it doesn't really have anywhere to go but up in some of these analytic departments. It still just generally sounds like the investment into positioning and into some of these new techniques and strategies has not been there on Texas's part. They're better off than some organizations for sure, They're not Baltimore or the Mets, but they've got their weaknesses. And it seems like the hirings that we've seen so far this offseason are addressing those weaknesses, as opposed to them finding yet another, like, you know what? The problem with Bannister was simply that he was a dick. And so we hired a guy who's less of a dick. Like, they didn't do that. They said, the problem with Bannister is not addressing some of these concepts they want to address. So we're going to go and find a guy that we're pretty sure is used to being in that situation. And we're going to try it with him. Or, you know what? We just don't have an organization that's run anything like what, say, the Cubs, a team that had a really successful rebuild, did a couple years ago. Let's go and grab a guy who's got that experience, who's been in an office like that. So I think it's cool to see Texas recognizing a deficiency that I think as fans we've kind of recognized and working on it, as opposed to saying, no, we're fine. We've got a great culture here. We know exactly what we're doing. We just need to do our stuff even better. Is the difference between saying, oh, we just need to execute. I'm like a football guy too. You see a football team go out there and you just get their ass kicked. And sometimes you have a coach that's like, well, we just need to execute. It's like, no, you need to not get destroyed. Like,
yeah, I hate that excuse.
You didn't just fail. And sometimes you can go, yeah, you're not executing. A lot of times it's like, yeah, you didn't have the pieces in place to be able to execute a successful plan here. And Texas is addressing that deficiency right now. I hope. And that's exciting. It's encouraging. You know, Texas isn't sitting here picking up an 82-year-old manager who had a great reputation for being a player's guy. Like, they picked up a 42-year-old who's coming out of one of the most analytic offices in the game, and they're saying, hey, we want you to do that thing you were doing over there. Like, you've been on a team in one of the World Series back-to-back years. You lost both of them. We know what that feels like. let's go lose some more World Series.
Let's talk about Game 6 some more.
Yeah, oh, yay. Finally. Golf. Finally.
Golf.
Okay. Golf. First off, I will never get over that. I don't care what anybody says.
Nope.
I will never get over that. And you can't tell me that I'm petty or immature or anything for not getting over that. Because I literally was explaining to my friends like a month ago what that was like. And I almost started crying like literally like a month ago. And why? Like, I don't even. It is what it is. And let me have my pain. Okay.
I will get over it when I am in a ballpark for the Rangers winning a World Series.
Yes. Yes.
I will be fully over that.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me.
Consider it when we just win one and I get to watch it.
It kind of reminds me. I assume you guys have seen the movie Swingers, correct?
Mm-hmm. I have not.
You haven't? Oh, my God. The guy's movie of all guy movies. It's a guy, Jon Favreau. He's going through a breakup of a girl he'd been seeing for several years, and he just can't seem to get over it. And he is talking to this other guy, and the guy has this great speech about how you recover and how the pain it just goes away just a tiny little bit at a time until you get to the point where you realize the pain is gone and you miss the pain.
I did think about that with like the Cubs when they finally won the World Series after 108 years. I mean, it's impossible to have a Cubs identity without being the lovable loser, without just wait till next year. So, like, there has to be at least, like, 1% of Cubs fans who at least 1% feel like, man, I kind of wish that we didn't win because the only thing that I've known is losing, right?
They miss the pain, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. We can talk about Game 6 later.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I thought of as you were talking, Max, and how the club and John Daniels specifically seems to have like kind of a degree of humility in admitting, okay, this is not where we're, you know, the organization is not on a path where we want to be. I think what's important and kind of reassuring to me as a fan, and hopefully to you guys and to everybody who's listening, is that we are not going to go back to like the mid-2000s, the mid-aughts of the Rangers. Like, that's not on the table. That's not acceptable. We need to not think of 2010 through 2016 as a miracle that will never happen again, and we're going to go back to our decades and decades and decades of never going to the playoffs. And if we do, then we're going to be woefully overmatched and get swept. I think that we should remember that, like, I think that the way that John Daniels is approaching it is not that well, you know, we're going to try our best, and I think that I have a plan for us. He's willing to, you know, say this is unacceptable, and what our standard is going to the World Series, is winning the AL West. And I think that these moves that have been made with Woodward, with the guy from the Cubs, and kind of and with not bringing Rocale back, and kind of the other things that you see going on, because, I mean, Jeff Bannister was fine, right? Like, he was fine, but he wasn't good enough. And so we have this degree of expectation of being division champions. We're not going to just hope that we're competitive because we have enough superstars and we handed out enough contracts that weren't totally terrible. We're going to make steps and concrete, like build the concrete foundation of sustainable success as the game evolves. And I think it's super encouraging to see our front office addressing that rather than, you know, being like the Mets, for example, and just being digging in deep, even more and being like, this is who we are. We're going to get back to the World Series because we're the Mets. And then they don't actually realize that they're the Mets, so they're going to fail.
Oh, man.
Shots fired to the Mets.
Free Mets bagging tonight.
Maybe you should have used the Cowboys as a reference. Cowboys are a perfect example of just standing pat, even
that's
though
true.
You
yeah.
suck year
yeah.
after year. They're the ones that say, we just need to go out there and execute. That,
just
and
go out there and execute. You know, some one of these years, you're going to turn 9-7 into 10-8. Or whatever, 10-6.
10-6.
Yeah. And you're going to get the wild card game, and it's going to be a success. Oh, right.
They almost even did that thing where they like tripped Bass Ackwards into putting together the best offensive line in the game. And it's like, oh, they figured it out. They're doing the thing that's good. And then they promptly screwed that up. And it's like, no, that was accidental. They got lucky. Damn. No, that, you were so close. To, anyway, football. That's a relevant topic for the Rangers rundown. Sit here and just complain about pro football. But it's going to about wrap it for us this week on the rundown. Obviously, we have a little bit more of an intermittent schedule here in the off season. Just going to be trying to record whenever anything does come up, whenever we do get any Rangers-related news. So probably about once a week, give or take. And then we should pick it up around winter meetings. And then again, you know, in advance of spring training, once there's some decent news coming in often enough to actually justify us screaming at each other on the internet for 45 minutes a couple times a week. So I know one thing I did want to touch on before we say goodbye tonight is that we did have the other big baseball news today was Rookie of the Year awards came out, and for once in a long time, MLB did the not stupid thing and gave Shohei Ohtani a Rookie of the Year as opposed to just rewarding like Miguel Andujar for being a Yankee. And that owns. Shohei Ohtani was a better hitter than Andujar was, and also pitched. Now, he didn't hit as much, but who cares? Rookie of the Year, Shohei Ohtani. Very fun.
Congrats.
And Acuña Jr. beat out Juan Soto in the National side, which, what a race that was. Pick between your generational teenagers. I guess Acuña was 20, but still, come on. This is gross.
The fact that the Nationals got Soto just I don't know if he started last year in single A, right?
Well, he wasn't even their best outfield prospect.
Right?
Victor Robles was the next guy up for them, and then Robles sort of stumbled and got hurt a little bit, and they're like, whatever, this Soto guy is raking it in the lower levels, let's give him a cup of coffee, and then oh yeah, he's one of the best players in baseball now.
Like
we need that to happen for one of our prospects.
That's what
any
I'm
prospect.
Just like
any prospect. I mean, Carlos Tochi.
Where are you, Carlos?
Yeah, Carlos like Tochi is the next Juan Soto. Y'all heard it here first.
Carlos, I hope that you are house searching in Nashville. I hear it's a lovely area.
It is a growing market.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carlos Tochi is only 4 years older than Juan Soto, so he's still got it in him.
Of course. He's like Nelson Cruz. He's a late bloomer.
And this is my once a month reminder that Nelson Cruz literally ruined all of baseball players for me by peaking at like or breaking out at 28, peaking at like 38.
Yeah.
God. Nelson Cruz.
Sign Nelson Cruz. You lose
track of him. I don't know that Tochi's gonna be able to physically bloom enough. I just don't think you can slap like 40 pounds on him anymore.
He just needs to go to GNC and get some supplements.
Something like that. Yeah.
Get some shots in your butt.
Okay. It's time to wrap it up. On this drug-free podcast, Rangers Rundown.
In. no longer has the power to wrap it up because
that's true.
I have the stop button.
Yes, Max being the host because he has better internet than me, which means that unlike last episode where I wrapped the episode up by going, I guess the internet doesn't work anymore. Bye. We get to wrap it up together. So I will just say, don't do drugs. Don't do steroids. And, you know, you can still make it to the major leagues. And even if you're not good, at least you did that. So you don't need steroids to make it to the pros, right? And just be satisfied with the league minimum. Why do you have to... Don't try to hit home runs. Everybody hits home runs. Just make the league minimum for 6 years. Go work at a baseball academy and just kind of skate by on that.
Home runs are fascist anyway.
There you go. Yeah, just...
If you're listening to this podcast as a child, or you have children, learn to catch. Teach them to catch.
Left-handed.
Backup catchers can play forever in the league. Or if they can throw left-handed, boom, they're done. They're ready.
There you go.
Just teach them a curveball, and they're going to get 6 years. Look, this is going to happen.
That's right. The curveball.
You'll at least be a bullpen guy.
The curveball is the original performance-enhancing drug.
Curveball is where it's at. Gotta get some of that sweet, sweet curveball action.
I think Hayden was gonna go with God.
Scratch some curveballs out of the back of the truck.
Please wrap this up.
Night, everybody.
Good night.